Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah,
God, I love that banana.
Anderson.
Higher than high-res, it's Lauren Perez.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Lisa Wallant, now that's what I call Wallentainment. The Bay Area betches. Betches. And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Let's take off with Tamala Plain.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Always ready for Nicole Passeretti.
One day you're Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
Lourdes, the Lourdes of the Rings.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Yes, we can with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne.
Yes, we should with Carrie Bridgewood.
You're the Wyndham beneath our wings, Joe Wyndham.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Ray Grant. The Grandmaster.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
And
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Yale Profs. I'm Ronnie Karam. You can also find me over on the Roast Pricks Bachelor Roast, which starts again. God, any second now, really. And here I am with the gorgeous and talented Mr. Ben Mandelker. You can find Ben's work, other work, over at The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, which is a YouTube cartoon that he writes and performs. Hi, Ben.
Hi, what's going on?
How you doing, babe?
Oh, man. We wrapped up our live shows for 2019 this weekend. And, my brain has like been in the process of just like slowly shutting down. I have full on senioritis, and I am pushing hard, but my body's also exhausted. And I was watching shows last night, and I could barely stay awake. So this recap's gonna be real funky on my end. I'm gonna be like, and then there was that time that Nene went over to the merry-go-round and was like, ah, this is going too fast.
So like every other day, basically.
Yeah, basically.
I feel great. I came home and went straight to bed. I was like, bye, worlds.
I slept also, but for some, my body is just like, my body is, I need to pick up a drug addiction. I think that's what it is.
God, that doesn't work. I've tried that.
Damn it.
Sorry, fine. Ben. Sorry okay, to break it fine. To you. That does not work. Everybody, hi, welcome. So we do have some live shows. Guess when? In 2020. Whoa. Thanks to everybody who comes to support those. We've had a really fun year doing those. I'm going to go through the list real quick, but the new ones first. We just announced Boston and San Francisco, so go get your tickets for those. You can find ticket links for all of these shows at watchwhatcrappens.com. We also recently announced Asbury Park, New Jersey, and Washington, D.C. But to start the year, we're going to do our 2020 Golden Crappy Awards in Los Angeles, California. And then we're going to Detroit, Columbus, Austin, Houston, Birmingham, New Orleans, Lawrence fucking Kansas, Omaha, Salt Lake City, Vancouver, Orlando, Charleston, Oklahoma City, and then New Jersey, D.C., San Francisco, and Boston. So go get your tickets for all those. And thank you again for the support. We are loving doing that.
I know. It really has been like such a journey. You know, this past year, I mean, you know, we started doing our big shows about 2 years ago. And this year, obviously, we went into like crazy overdrive. And it's really, I've never had a year like this. I've never traveled so much. I've gotten so much even closer with you, Ryan. I didn't think I could even get closer to you because we talk every single day. I talk to you more than I talk to like anyone in my life. I never thought that like I could get even closer to you. But, you know, turns out traveling across the country with you. We learned a lot about each other.
That's more time than I've spent with anybody in real life.
I know. It's crazy. Seeing all these cities has been really cool, meeting lots of people, and just the stories that we're getting out of doing each and every one of these shows. Even this past weekend, we're in Seattle. I had a Seattle dog. I didn't even know that Seattle had a special hot dog, and it was great. Just random stuff like that where we're just like learning about all the corners of this country. It's been wonderful. And also just like a lot of people have a lot of really nice things to say to us when we go and meet them. And that's, and I'm not saying that to be like, oh, we're so awesome. It's more like, it's really touching to hear the stories that people have. We, you know, most people are like, oh my God, you guys get me through my workout. But we get stories of people who really have like gone through really, really tough things in their lives. And they're like, you guys are like what kept me distracted. And we're like just totally humbled by that. So it's been like a wonderful year.
You know, it really has. So thanks, everybody. And today's Real Housewives of Atlanta episode is titled, you know, something I think we ask ourselves every day. What would Michelle Obama do?
Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
Is that what it's really called?
Yeah, it was the title of today's episode.
I did notice she was referenced a few times.
She was very prominent. I'll tell you what Michelle Obama probably doesn't do. Stand around in a wig going, security, where's my security? Where is it? Security, where's my security?
Yeah. I think that one thing Michelle Obama probably doesn't do, I don't know, maybe pedal around Atlanta on a hookah and Henny cart.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. So the song to lead us in is Coming Back Stronger. Coming Back Stronger. I was like, oh, wow. The episode that Portia takes Dennis back after cheating. What a way to open the show, guys.
Portia has me, I mean, I'm so confused because over the weekend was Nene's birthday, and the way I found out was Portia posted it on her Instagram and was like, happy birthday to my big sis. You know, it's a complicated love. I was like, wait, you guys are friends again? I cannot keep up. I can't.
I know. And how do you know? And I feel for her next time Nene does to her what Nene inevitably will do to her, the same way I feel about Dennis, you know, like, oh, we'll get to the therapy scene. Yeah, it's not till the end of the show, but we'll get there. But stop taking back abusive people, okay? They don't get less abusive. I can promise you that.
And it's like very sad because she's so, well, I'll just get to it. We'll get to it when we get to it, you know, because there are bigger fish to fry, and those fish are swimming in Lake Bailey.
Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding,
oh God,
ding.
I hate that ringtone.
That's the Ring doorbell tone.
The Ring doorbell tone. Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding. Oh, I hate it. It drives me nuts. I hate that more than the generic Apple ringtone for iPhones, which Cynthia also has, by the way.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ah. Hate it.
I love Ring because I love Nextdoor.com, and it's basically Ring videos of ladies going, hey, is this person robbing me, or are they really a UPS man? It's like they left a package on the door. Does that look like they're robbing you?
It literally says idiot. UPS. I can't tell if it's a UPS man or someone pretending to be UPS man coming to rob me. It's like, okay, lady.
Yeah.
It's a UPS man.
Yeah, keep it classy, world. In a truck. Keep it classy. Well, there was a guy taking UPS stuff around on a dolly because they park the truck, put stuff on a dolly, and walk. Because what are you going to park at every single place? And she gave him shit and was videotaping him. And then he's videotaping her back. And I'm like, wow, this is like the fight of 2019, you know, just videotaping each other in a fight. Stupid fucking people chasing around a UPS guy. Who robs people with a dolly full of packages? Like, how does that work in your mind?
UPS delivery people have it so hard right now. They got that big ass truck that doesn't even have doors, which I find to be I still have never really wrapped my head around that. Like, I would be afraid I would tumble right out. You know, I just know I would. No door. I'm going to be the one that's going to be like, oh, I got to pick up my Tic Tac. And the next thing you know, I'm in the median on the road. But they have to deal with that. And it's holiday time and they got to park that big ass truck everywhere.
And now you got to deal with just random racists walking around the streets, waving their cell phones at you like some weapon. Like, get out of here, UPS Eunice.
And you know, Celeste down the street is always running up to the guy being like, oh, are you UPS? Can I give you this package right now? He's always got to deal with Celeste with a last minute package while he's just trying to do his route.
Otherwise known as Ronnie.
Oh, hi. Can I videotape you taking this package for me?
I'm just kidding. So Cynthia and Kenya. Kenya comes over to Lake Bailey. And this is, you know, like I said, the song opens about being strong and stuff. So let's talk about Cynthia's closet, you know?
Yeah.
It's a scene of Cynthia's strength. She's got a lot of closets.
Yeah. So Cynthia, Kenya comes over and Cynthia's like, child, did you bring your band? Which was kind of funny. And so she needs Kenya's help to organize her closet. I'm like, Cynthia, you're rich. Just like hire someone to do it. Like you could do it. Like sometimes I get, it's kind of funny because sometimes I'm like, oh, rich people, they need a person for everything. And then sometimes I'm like, you're rich. Hire someone. You know?
Yeah, no kidding. Or at least build cuter closets. Or, I don't know, maybe do you wear things twice? I don't know if Cynthia wears things twice. I don't know. Find a good place to donate to.
Sort of seems like a supermodel should know how to put together a closet.
I don't know. My supermodel days are done ever since I hung up the Husky over at Dillard's back when I was 10. she's giving Kenya shit because Kenya's boob tape is hanging out and stuff. And, she's like, God, what is that hanging out of your boobs? Like, she says, I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted watching her bra try and hold up those titties, child.
Yeah.
And then it cuts. It's like, beep, they're huge. Beep, yeah. Those titties have taken over that body. Beep. Kenya's milk factory.
And yet Mark doesn't even want a motorboat, it sounds like, which is really like, I mean, get in while the getting's good, Mark. Is that chauvinist of me? I can't tell.
I don't know.
I feel like if you're straight and your wife has big boobs at that moment, like go to town.
Okay.
Right.
I don't know. That's terrible.
Maybe he's an ass man. I don't know. Straight people, I don't even understand them.
I'm not really a motorboating type of person, so I'm just letting you pass with that. But
maybe
I'm supporting
like
your journey, but I'm not on it with you.
Maybe motorboating someone who's lactating is not the smartest thing anyway, by the way. I take it all back.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that. That was a fun jaunt.
It becomes like a Cindy Pollock painting.
God.
I know. Sorry.
Kenya's,
I told you, my brain's shutting down.
So Kenya is giving Cynthia shit for wanting to move Mike in, because that's why she's fixing all her closets. And she's like, shouldn't you be engaged first? It's like, are you kidding me? You barely even know your husband. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Kenya's like, I know, that's my point. She's like, don't follow my lead, okay? I'm in a miserable marriage with a husband who doesn't want to motorboat my lactating boobs right now. He just wants to sit and eat cereal and boss me around.
Gross. So they start talking about Marlo, and Cynthia's like, yeah, she was pretty mad. Kenya's like, well, she's mad because she saw how everyone came over to me. They came over to you because you had free products, okay? It's not like your free edges product beat a tray of free wigs.
Well, I think actually they did. I think Marlo had some free something or another out. Maybe some Skittles. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't believe it. Because this is Marlo we're talking about. I do not believe it.
That's true. So Cynthia's like, well, Marlo said you were paying child support. And Kenny goes, that bitch is used to pulling a lot of things out of her ass, including some 80-year-old dick. Which, I'm not going to lie, I fully laughed out loud.
So Cynthia is bad at labeling things. Does she call this Snake Gate? Snake? Is she like, I wanted to ask her about Snake Gate, but then came.
I'm surprised she didn't like call it like Synth Gate, you know, because she loves just putting her name in there. Synthesize.
Hashtag 52 Synth Gate.
52 Angry Men Synth Gate Synth.
What's 52 Angry Men?
I don't know. It was my weird play on 12 Angry Men, which is like a play. It has nothing to do with it. I don't know why. I was like, it was my wires are crossed right now.
Depressing play about racism. Thanks, Ben.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I thought it was about a jury.
It is.
About a racial trial. Is that what it is?
Yes.
This is what happens when I make an unchecked cultural reference.
Yeah. So I was like, no, it's not.
The point is this. The sisters Rosenzweig.
You stay over there with your lactating boobs and your 12 Angry Men jokes, okay?
As Wendy Wasserstein once said, the Cynthia Chronicles. Am I right, John?
Wendy Wasserstein. So she's like, I wanted to ask her about Snake Gate, but you came. And I think she's confused because it would be Rat Gate, right? Whoever ratted her out or recorded her.
I mean, it's like snaky behavior, but it would be Rat Gate. Yeah, Rat.
Hamster Gate. So she's like, yeah, you know, look, I know that Marlo just basically is a henchman for Nini, but still, I've known her forever. How am I supposed to even ask her if she secretly recorded me?
Yeah, you just ask her. And I mean, it doesn't matter. You think Marlo's gonna be honest about that? Even though it's like clearly it was Yovana, right? Like, obviously.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think so too.
So Kenya's talking about how marriage is tough and everything. And she's like, you know, Michelle Obama was just talking about it. I'm like, please don't like compare yourself to Michelle Obama right now, please.
Yeah. And like, you have to have a great person on your team. And I just like imagining Michelle Obama yelling at Barack. I've always liked that. I've always liked to picture that.
I feel like they have like just the most intelligent, petty arguments. Like really well-spoken arguments about the dishes, like inspiring. When they go low, I go to the rinse cycle.
Yeah,
Barack.
When they go low, I go to the high rack, whereas where you wash glasses properly. Barack!
Hey, Barack, put the forks in the other way, because that's how we show the way, Barack.
And Cynthia's like, yeah, and you know, she said one of the most important things in a relationship is learning to argue. And Kenya's like, yeah, you basically have to decode Mark. You have no idea what he's saying. Maybe, but from what we've seen of Mark in the 2 seconds that we've seen him, yeah, you do know what he's saying. You just don't like what he's saying. You just want him to be saying something else. Now, that said, these two sound like a fucking nightmare, and I don't think that I want to hear them learn to argue. Think, just yeah. Separate. Just stay in your own corners, you two.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. This is not the second coming of Michelle and Barack. I think that's fair to say at the very least.
Yeah, pretty fair. So then Candy and Todd are at home, and Riley is FaceTiming Candy to ask if she can get a new Fendi sweatshirt or something for $160.
And Candy's like, with your own money, with your own money. And it's kind of funny. Someone on Twitter, I wish I had the tweet up, but someone on Twitter tweeted the funniest thing. They're basically like, so Todd uses your money to like buy trucks, open up 5 restaurants, pay for strippers, like taking his daughter to the strip club, but Riley has to pay $168 for her own sweater, you know?
Well, that's her that's her husband. That money is Todd's too.
I mean,
kidding. I mean, oh my God, what the, I hate that. Like what's mine is yours and what's yours is mine.
Yeah, but I'm not saying that Riley necessarily should have the $168. I actually agreed with Candy being like, with your own money, I'm already funding this amazing apartment for you. But it's also kind of funny, the total double standard, which, I mean, it's apparent. But at the same time, Todd talks a lot about independence while he's like just spending, which is what we said last week and the week before and the week before and the week before. He's just spending Candy's money left and right.
I just think it's funny Candy's trying to seem like some badass, like she's coming down hard on her kid after she just put her in this gorgeous $5,000 a month apartment.
Yeah.
There's that too. So then Carmen comes over.
Yeah, we got a little Carmen action and they start talking. And we do find out that Todd bought a tractor trailer and he's also starting up a Mexican restaurant and he's trying to lease a place to create OLG breakfast. I mean, I don't know if people can just like feel my rage through the podcast right now. Like you're buying a tractor trailer. Are you like Joe Gorga just going through Candy's money? I know it's like, they are married and it's like, it's their money, but it's really Candy's money.
Well, I've just so used to dating people with no jobs that I'm like, wow, I don't think that I could really complain about a man who wants to work more. You know what I mean? Of course, spend your own money to do it. But also, why is the buying a tractor trailer thing becoming a thing on Bravo? Like, why is that a thing? We saw Robin do it, or think about doing it at least. I don't know if she actually did it.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's like a lot of money in it, but I just feel like, I guess what one thing that like annoys me is I just see these people on Bravo trying to do like get rich quick schemes, it feels like. Like, oh, here's a quick payday I could be doing. It's like the entrepreneurial, I don't know. It's like you see someone like Bethany, who she's a cook. She had this line, the skinny girl thing. This is her thing. It all makes sense. You know, she has like, say what you will about Bethany, but she is like a businesswoman and a shark. And she goes in and she's like, she knows what she's doing. She's on a path and she is expanding it into jeans or whatever. And then you see people like Todd, who's like one day buying a truck. Hey, why don't we try doing this thing? Why don't we try doing this thing? Just like using up all this money and these like super risky endeavors. I don't know. For some reason,
he also gives himself really rough jobs. I mean, restaurants are some of the hardest businesses to own. Like, what the hell, dude?
Yeah, just like expanding left and right as if like, I don't know. He's no Lisa Vanderpump, if you ask me. Just grouchy now.
Lisa Todd, I don't know. Lisa, well, they have the same name.
They do.
Todd, Lisa Todd.
Ken Todd.
Ken Todd. So Candy is like, yeah, I'm going to have to kind of squash all this because, hi, we still don't have a baby's room. Like, we need to make a baby. There's a baby coming. And then she talks more about Todd's shitty relationship with Kayla. And that's pretty much her story for the whole show. She's like, well, I can't say anything to Kayla because that's not my birth daughter. But what are we going to do when it's our birth daughter? Dun, dun, dun.
Well, because apparently Todd might actually have an issue with girls in general because he also gets into it with Riley. And Candy's like, you know that kid who's always like, he ain't my daddy? Well, that's Riley. And she sort of like laughs. But it sounds like, you know. So I guess the spoiler alert is that maybe Todd's not so great.
Yeah. I think that Candy will be fine. Todd's not going to be around to say anything to the kid because he's going to have 19 restaurants to run. He's like going
to
constantly
truck
be gone.
Drive.
Yeah.
I just feel like he's
getting
like,
his truck fixed.
He's just sort of like moving into Peter territory a little bit. Peter's brew.
Peter's brew. Oh, God. Now there's a business.
Yeah.
So Portia calls Marlo. She's in front of some building. And Marlo's like, I'm turning right now. I'm on the orange bicycle bar, hookah bar thing.
Yeah, didn't she say she was wearing a Maybach with an orange roof? So, yeah. So, basically, it's like one of those long things that you see. Like, if you go to Nashville, I guarantee you will see, like, a million bachelorette parties just pedaling down through Nashville, through the main streets on this, where it's like a table, and you can pedal, but you also can drink. And in this one, you can also smoke hookah off of it. It's like good for like big group parties, but in this case, there's only two people on it, Marlo and Portia. So, they're on there, they're drinking, and then they're like shocked to find out that they actually have to pedal. Like the vehicle actually needs their pedaling to move forward. And so they're trying to, but since it's just two of them, it's like pretty, they have to like really put their legs into it. And so, Portia's like, you know what, like, at least I'm in my exercise gear. You know, Marlo's over here in, like, you know, trying to pedal in full sequence. And I know she's hot and stinky.
Yeah. And then some guy drives up who works with Portia at the radio show. And I don't, his name is Gary T.
I could have sworn that he also was in Married to Medicine in, like, the very next episode, getting his teeth done at Dr. Heavenly's. But I was too lazy to, like, double check.
Oh, damn it. So I was too lazy to even write down his full title. I wrote Gary T with the T.
Gary. I think it's just Gary. Mrs. Garrett. It was Mrs. Garrett.
Yeah. A car passes by and someone's like, Blair,
Judy, got your cookies.
Cookies after homework only. Which actually sounds shockingly like Tanya. Weird.
Yeah, Tanya does have the spirit of Charlotte Ray in her.
Oh, so they say hi to their friend, and he's mortified that they're biking, you know? And she's like, he got Versace with the top down? Okay, bitch.
She acts like she's never even met him before. So now they're like talking. Now they're having like a serious talk on this like total tourist trap kind of vehicle. And Marlo starts saying how, like, no one in this group is real. You know, the only one who's real is Nini because she put her business out there. I'm like, oh, please. Nini is the fakest of them all. Please. Like, Nini putting her business out there is, like, a fully calculated, deliberate plan to try to make her look sympathetic.
Totally. And Portia says, well, I don't know why she's telling anything. Nobody wants to hear it. And Marlo's like, but, I mean, come on. For example, your business. I don't know, one girl that you've told your business. Not one.
Yeah. And Portia's like,
no, it's nothing personal. I just don't want to keep saying the same story over and over and over again.
And also, Marlo, who are you to talk? We still don't even know who your old sugar daddy is. Like, let's stop pretending that you are so honest about everything.
Yeah, we literally don't even know what you do for a job.
Yes.
Like, we don't know where you live. And admittedly, you're a friend of, but still. Like, we know more about Buffy, who's been on for one season on Married to Medicine, than we do about you.
Yeah.
We know more about the lady who ran the OC fashion show on a boat than we know about you.
Yeah. So Marlo's like, well, but how are you with Nini? And Portia is like, she crossed the line with me, making fun of me while I'm at home with my baby breastfeeding. And Marlo's like, but why can we take all this shit from guys but not girls? Guys are worse to us. They sleep with us. They put our lives in their hands. They give us diseases. And Portia goes, diseases, bitch.
And importantly, Marlo may have just gotten a little too real. So then Marlo goes, what did Michelle Obama say? When they go low, you go what?
Hot dog.
No, we'll try that again. When they go low, you go
relish in hot dogs.
When they go low, you go.
Hey, bitch, I see a friend over there in the car.
It's close enough.
Yeah, it works. I was really hoping Michelle had said, when they go low, you go and get yourself a properly sized welcome mat. But that's fine. That's fine.
So Portia's like, don't tell me I don't stand, you know, we're talking about Nene here, you know, and I did go high because my man did this to me and I got rid of him. And I said, this is not how you're going to treat me. And if I can do that with my man, I can definitely do it with a Manny.
No, it's interesting because Marlo actually has an interesting point there, which is like, we forgive, like, you know, women forgive men so easily. That's what she's saying. I mean, that's a generalization, but she's basically like, you know, we forgive men. We go back, we sleep with them when they do terrible, terrible things to us. But when it comes to women, it's like, no, never. And she's kind of right. But then again, I also really liked Portia's take on it, which is like, no, not only am I like fuck Nene, and also fuck Dennis too. And I'm going to fuck them both. Like, who cares? Like, they're both terrible people to me. So I was like, I thought Marlo had an interesting point. I loved the way Portia turned it around and made it even more empowering, or made it empowering. And then that's why it made me so sad to then see, like, on Instagram that, you know, Portia and Dennis are back together. Portia and Nene are friends again, which theoretically is, like, a nice thing because people are getting along. But it also makes me feel like, as you said before, like, these are people that treat her like shit. And she just sort of, like, has welcomed them back in rather than, like, moving onwards and upwards.
Yeah, Nene's an abusive asshole, okay? I don't know that, you know, difference between men and women. Who forgives who? They're both get rid of abusive people. Stop. Just stop trying to change abusive people.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a...
Let's begin on nighttime relaxation. You've never felt more... Feel your eyelids getting... Now let yourself lay back and get a good night of... When cold and flu symptoms won't let you sleep, ask for Night Nurse. Its unbeatable strength helps put cold and flu to bed. Only available at the pharmacy counter. For cold and flu relief, visit dayandnightnurse.co.uk/verify for verification. Always read the label.
Hey you, your go-to destination for the most addictive reality TV.
I love that.
Stream or download all the shows you love with loads same day as the US.
Hallelujah.
Including Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Real Housewives of New Jersey, and more. Okay. Escape the Christmas parties with over 7,000 episodes, because staying in is the new going out.
This is heaven for me.
Treat yourself to something special. Sign up now to get your 1 month free.
Greg Rappin's commercial.
So yep. Nene is with Greg, speaking of, not Greg, but Nene, speaking of being abusive, is with Greg, and he's making some kind of drinks or whatever, because that's what they do now. They put out cheese plates and, then,
and drinks.
Yeah, you know, make some
drinks. Well, we find out it's a lemonade that he's serving in like a Moscow Mule cup, or like a fake, it's like a weird faux copper glass, TJ Maxx, you know.
Yeah, TJ, they're making a TJ Mule. So Greg comes over because dong, 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 some girl comes over, and guess who it is? Do not get a life coach named Tamara. That's just a bad numerology.
Yeah, that's a bad sign. That's like getting like a nanny named Satan. Like, you just know. I mean, it's right there. It's in the name.
Yeah, it's not good. So Nene explains, she's like, well, you know, Tamara's my life coach. She's teaching me so much. You know, the younger Nene, well, shall I say, Nene, she was never afraid of an argument. And then we get a montage of her just telling people off nonsensically, as she likes to do. But today, I need a little more peace in my life, which is why I'm wearing an Ellie Mae Clampett dress and pretending I'm a new sweet girl from a farm and have never done anything to anybody in my entire life.
and wearing a necklace that says love, a la Dr. Deb. Also, what is this, like, the young Nene loved an argument? I'm like, when did the young Nene, like, when was, like, the term limit on young Nene? Because last time I checked, about 9 months ago, young Nene was still out in force starting arguments and yelling at people.
Yeah.
I do not remember the closet party. Do you not remember when people went into your closet and you not very tore long someone's ago. Shirt? Is that the young Nene also?
So Nene is just like, she's a monster, and I don't think she could ever change, even if she really did want to, which I don't think that she does. So Tamara's like, so how are you and Greg doing? And Nene says, well, I just need to admit some things, you know, because for me, when people admit things, it makes you closer to them. Like, now what? Now what did Greg do? It's like, Jesus Christ. It's like, he's over there making all your drinks, making all your food, following you around like a little puppy dog. Now what did Greg do?
Yeah. So then Nene starts talking about how Kenya came to Marlo's event and, like, had the band. And she was like, I knew the longer I stood there, the more likely I would cuss her out. So she's once again, you know, portraying herself as this, like, hero who controlled her emotions, which I guess to some degree is true. She did remove herself from a situation before she would, like, lose her temper. But she also did it in, like, a very showy way of, like, I'm leaving. I'm just going to storm out of here because I'm so mad that I can't be mad right now.
Yeah, it wasn't her scene, and she was like trying to make her big comeback with all the girls for the first time, and she totally got upstaged. And it was upstaged right in her scene that she was trying to do with Portia, their wig fight or whatever. So she storms out like a diva because she's not getting attention. And she said, well, you know I should have had Marlo's back, but I couldn't have her back at that moment. And Tamara's like, well, your friends have to understand that you need to take care of yourself first. I'm like, shut up, Tamara. You're terrible. You're terrible at your job already.
I like really struggle every time you say, and then Tamara said, like I cannot separate this Tamara from that Tamara. And I'm like, every time you say, and then Tamara says she has to learn from herself, I just keep having visions of Tamara Barney just sitting there with Nene, and it's like the worst pairing I've ever seen in my life.
Well, maybe that's why I'm getting so angry, because I keep saying Tamara. Yeah. And also, don't trust a life coach who shows up in like a tight fitting evening velvet gown. You know what I mean? Like, or, what the hell kind of life coach is this?
Yeah, or maybe like, I feel like, you know, you weren't there for this, but when Ray subbed for you on Dallas, we were talking about life coaches because Stephanie Holman, she's a life coach. And we're saying, you know, life coaches, I feel like, are good for things like, you know, career questions, you know, career, I don't know, like things sort of like, what am I doing with my life? Literally life coach. I think when it comes to I have anger issues. I have deep fundamental anger issues. I have issues connecting with people. When you're talking about like relationship or how you relate to other people, I think that's when you have to go to someone with like,
that's a therapist. More,
yeah. A therapist, like someone who's just like licensed, who went to school. I'm not saying that family, life coaches aren't licensed, but someone who like has like, who's educated in that area. And so when you sit and watch someone, sometimes I feel like when I watch some of these Bravo stars, like sit down with a life coach, I feel like they're just doing the motions so that way they're going through the motions so that way they can say they are taking care of an issue when they're just talking to someone who's just going to sort of say the things that sound nice, right?
Yes, of course. Nene's hiring herself a yes man, totally.
Yeah. So then Nene starts talking about how sisterhood is so important to her. And how she just wants to get back to sisterhood, but she wants to get back to sisterhood without having to say, I apologize. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. She goes, I want to try and figure out how to get back to this without saying I apologize, because before I apologize, I would have to understand what I'm apologizing for. Really? Are you kidding me? Do you have a television? Because the television could explain it to you very well.
I mean, seriously.
Monster.
Yeah, it's called do some soul searching and think about it. I mean, even the life coach, even Tamara sort of said like, well, you know, you reacted to things in certain ways. Like, even if you just apologize for the basic, the low hanging fruit, like I apologize for being a cold, steely bitch to you at the reunion and for doing nasty things, like just some easy stuff, you know?
Yeah, start easy, but she won't. She's a total narcissist.
Yeah.
So she's like, well, and also what she's saying is nobody will shoot with me. and I'm on this show getting paid a lot of money, and I've already skipped out on the first couple of weeks of work, so I'm going to have to show up on some of these trips and stuff. So what the hell am I supposed to do now, right? So she even went to lunch with Tanya, who she hates. Tanya was trying to be so positive, but now she's scared of Nini. So when she tells Portia they're going to Toronto, she puts on feathers and like a whole outfit and screams around an office. But for Nini, she goes, "We're going to Toronto. Carnival."
Yeah. She does like a mild, she's like, she's not sure if she can get all extra with Nini. So she sort of tests that. We're going together to Toronto Carnival. No, too much, too much. Okay, okay, I'll dial it back.
I even sat down while I said that.
Yeah.
So Nini's like, well, you know, with these girls, I need to think if I want to even be a part of all of this negativity. Because on a trip, when you're with somebody, you're really with them. Then it shows Nini just being a fucking horrible human being on every trip ever.
Yeah, exactly. Like... She's like, I don't know if I want to be part of the negativity that I bring to every single trip. Yeah. But she goes, I have four bald. That's why I'm wearing this wig. I have four bald spots from taking girls trips.
Yeah, I can't even with her anymore. Just get off the show already. Jesus Christ, you're exhausting.
So meanwhile, Portia and Marlo are still on their hookah and Henny ride. Like, they've been out there for like 5 days. Like, they are basically, they're doing like Oregon Trail around Atlanta at this point, you know, like dysentery has like plagued them. They've crossed a river. They've shot buffaloes, but they're still doing their trek.
They are the diseased blankets. So Portia is wasted now at this point. She's smoking a hookah in one hand, has a drink in another hand, and she's falling over.
Yeah. So Marlo basically sends this covered wagon by the original hot dog factory, and you know, Portia's like,
"Hi, Dennis. We want hot dogs, Dennis." Yeah. So Marlo really loves Dennis, and so Portia finally agrees to go in, and they order. But she's like,
"Well, we're gonna call Dennis because I don't want him to hear it about somebody else. I have been so disrespected. I have been so confused. I have been so upset." But I will get a free hot dog. Bet your damn life I will.
You know what? It's amazing what people will do for a free hot dog. You know, it's amazing the friendships people will have. It's amazing the men they will take back in their lives just for a free hot dog.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, if someone said that if someone brought me a hot dog from Costco, the $1.50 hot dog and soda meal right now, I'd be like, you know what? We're best friends.
You're forgiven.
Yeah.
So they call him, and she's like, "I just wanted to tell you, we're getting hot dogs." And he's like, "Hi, hi."
Yeah, full of personality over there.
Yeah, and Marlo's like, "Say I love you, Dennis. Say I love you." He's like, "I love you, Portia." But she's like, "Okay, bye."
Yeah, because Marlo keeps wanting Portia to say she loves. Well, she's like, "She loves you and misses you, Dennis. Tell him you love him. Tell him you love him." I'm like, Marlo, shut the fuck up. He cheated on her. Why are you trying to like put Portia in this position where she has to like take down her guard when she's pissed? Let her be pissed.
Because people are constantly dicks to people, expect everybody to just be forgiven at all times, you know? Marlo,
I think
she's like, "Well, we all do fucked up shit. Just forgive him." Like, yeah, well.
Spoken I know, I think
like someone who does
Karam,
fucked up shit all the time.
I think there's a very clear Ronnie Karam conspiracy theory at play here. I think Dennis called Marlo and said, "I'm going to give you a lifetime of free hot dogs if you get Porsche to come back to me." And I think that's that. I think Marlo is like, free food.
Yeah. So Portia's like, "This is the hardest part of the breakup, is not having these hot dogs." So then we go over to Candy's again, and we see Miss Peggy.
Have we met Miss Peggy before? I feel like I've never seen her.
I don't think so. I feel like she's a new cast member, and now she's going to be on all the time, because they were really playing up to Miss Peggy.
Yeah, there was a lot of Miss Peggy going on. A lot of like fully articulating her name, like it felt like they were just wedging her name into everything. Like, "See, no, Roddy, I got an electric bill. Did you see the electric bill? Miss Peggy."
"Hi, Miss Peggy. Hi, Miss Peggy.
Hi, Miss Peggy.
Hi, Miss Peggy.
Hi, Miss Peggy.
All right, kids, we'll see you later.
Bye, Miss Peggy.
Bye, Miss Peggy.
Bye, Miss Peggy. I'm George from UPS. There's a lady following me, but more importantly, I have a package for Miss Peggy."
So Kayla is going to move to New York with Riley, and she's really nervous to go. And her hat says "Live in La Vida Broca," which I think is really, funny. So Candy is. We get another scene about how, you know, Kayla is not getting along with Todd, and Candy hopes that he's better with their own daughter. Pretty much.
Oh God.
Yeah. Oh, God. I'm bored with this. I'm bored with the storyline. Can you tell?
Well, I just feel like it's just It's hard to get excited about. I feel like Candy is doing her best. I love Candy. I just love, love, love Candy. And I just am like, Todd's shitty. And this is what's going to happen. You're going to have Todd. Todd.
Yeah. So, Chahil. I don't have anything to say. It's just a repeat of the last scene.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
So then we go to Chahil driving to have a fun double date with Eva and her husband.
Oh, gosh. So they go, they walk up to an air to this place, and at first I think it's a bowling alley, and then I realize, oh no, it's that ridiculous throw football at bowling pins thing that they went to on Married to Medicine a few weeks ago, maybe, I don't know when it was, but I got mad about it then, and I got mad about it all over again now. I was like, wow, this place is like twice now. Twice this fall.
They're really trying to push it. They're really trying to push football, bowling, and tractor trailers.
Yeah.
That's okay, Bravo's thing for 2019.
I am not accepting football bowling. Okay. I will accept. I'm accepting throwing axes at stumps. Like, I'm okay with that. My friend, in fact, had a gift certificate to a place in North Hollywood where they do that. And I almost was like, I would actually like to do that because I've seen it so much on Bravo. But football bowling, I'm not. And we heard from some people ahead of our Atlanta trip. Some people messaged us and said, some people said, yeah, it's actually really fun. And some people said, yeah, it's actually really hard. Not into it no matter what. I rebuke it.
I rebuke thee, football bowling. So they first start talking about who videotaped this conversation with Cynthia. And Chahil is like, what a piece of shit. I don't care who it was. They're a goddamn piece of shit. And Eva's like, well, legally, why don't we ask my husband about it? Now, this is interesting because he said if there was someone if you were in the conversation, what?
You said this is interesting, and I said that's the first time that's been used with Michael.
He said,
By the way, I have to also say, why were Eva and Michael dressed up like they were going to a banquet afterwards for freaking football bowling? Really bothered me. Go on.
So he's like, well, if someone is in a conversation with you and they record it, that's legal. But if they were secretly if it was somebody secretly recording two of you, then that wouldn't be legal, which is crazy. That's not how it is in California. I guess every state's different, but it's illegal to be recording somebody without them knowing, in California at least. So whatever, that's a whack law. I will say that.
I don't know what the law is on that. All I know is there's a lot of recording going. I don't know. It just feels like there's a lot of complaints about recording for people who are on reality TV.
Yeah, that's true. So Eva starts saying, well, you know, Nini is the one who recorded me last year. Well, yeah, she did tell you she wouldn't wear her mic or whatever, and it was on. But the producers made her, and you were in the parking lot of the set of your reality show. It's a little different. This other thing is a little different.
I'm going to allow Eva to be mad about that because we were mad at Nini about that, and we were clocking Nini for being a hypocrite with that bullshit. So
I think just the way she said it, she makes it sound like Nini was doing the secret recording on her and all this. I think it's a little different.
Well, so Cynthia goes, they're talking about who the suspects could be. And we get another flashback of Candy asking Yovana if Yovana recorded her. And Yovana's like, me? What? I don't even know what recording means. What is that word? I don't know. How could it possibly be me who recorded her?
I know, like pulling her wig down over her face, trying to hide behind it. And Eva's like, yeah. And then you've got... Nini is a narc. She's a federale. She works for the government. She's recorded me. She needs a pat down.
Yeah. And then Cynthia is like, cha, unless the Russians have snuck over to Lake Bailey and tapped my house, the only people I can think of are Ivana and Marlo. I'm like, I love the idea that the Russians are like, you know, as fun as it is to fix another government presidential election in the U.S., it would be probably even more fun if we saw what Cynthia Bailey's up to.
Yeah, it would be really fun to see if we can get some recordings of that lady who hashtags herself a lot making guacamole.
Hey, let's listen in and see if she can fix that closet. We can't wait.
Oh, what's that sound? I think it's that lady sitting on her countertop again.
Putin's just like obsessed with Cynthia Bailey.
He's like, oh, guacamole.
Oh, Kitchen Island. I love it.
Why did that lady put her spoon in the guacamole?
Wow, let's see what's happening in Lake Bailey. Is it time for another Bailey Q?
So then we get Kenya. And
wait, can I just say, by the way, I don't know if you noticed this, but while they were, because then there was some stupid ass shit where it was like the models versus mics, and whoever wins, then that's where the other person has to move to either LA or Atlanta. Like, truly no one cares. But while they were doing this, I don't know if you noticed this, but Southern Charm was playing in the background on this big wall. They had a projection of Southern Charm. It was a very meta Bravo moment.
Oh, really? They're just allowed to play Bravo stuff probably to make sure they get the rights?
Yeah, it was like, I guess, Bravo's version of like Synergy.
They should have made it really meta and had Robin driving her tractor trailer.
Well, actually, Monique Samuels on Twitter today was saying, she, like, I guess like 2 weeks ago, she said, these Atlanta episodes need more Nene. And then today she like retweeted herself and said, just like I said, needs more Nene. I'm like, Monique, no. Monique, I've come around to you. I've become a big Monique fan. Don't ruin it. Don't ruin it.
Yeah, you're killing me. Although Potomac sounds amazing this year.
I cannot wait to watch that. They better have all that shit in there.
Yeah. So let's go to the next scene. Kenya. I was like, please don't be another therapist. Please don't be. Nope, it's a lawyer. But it's a lawyer who's kind of a therapist. And she's got like a card that says, I think it says Bequest. I just wrote Bequest Gather sign because it's in Gather font. Why is everything in that font?
Because she works with Will. So she has a Bequest sign that's in Gather. Bequest.
Oh, God.
It's a very specific TJ Maxx purchase.
Yeah, so she's like a financial planner lawyer or something.
Yeah, she sort of was giving me light Kristen Takeman vibes in her look. And it's basically a scene where Kenya keeps saying, like, I just want to protect the assets for my daughter. I just want to protect my daughter's assets, a.k.a. we're about to break up.
Yes, and she's like, I have a home that just appraised at $1.8 million. So basically she tells us Mark didn't think it was very romantic to have a prenup, which is crazy. Leave him.
Yeah, that is crazy. That is, excuse me, certifiably crazy.
Crazy. I think that's nuts. Yeah. So she's like, well, okay, we can go two different options. We can do a will or a trust. The will takes about a year. And Kendi's like, no, I want whatever's immediate. So they decide, you know, how to put all this money aside for the kid. And then Kenya, of course, starts crying and talking about how everything sucks in her marriage and stuff. Mm-hmm. And Kristen's just looking at her like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, the Gather font does not invite you here to cry, okay?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here. I'm a lawyer.
At least, she's like, at least your husband wasn't caught in hacked files from Ashley Madison, okay?
Yeah. No kidding. At least you didn't accidentally name your company POC when you're a white lady, okay?
So now we go to Portia therapy, and she's with her. Well, I forget her therapist's name, but she had like her normal therapist,
Dr. Sherry.
So she's there, and surprise guest, here comes Dennis. He just like the definition of lumbering is Dennis walking down the hallway. Totally. He's like a big lumbering. At first I was like, he's like a lumbering bear, just like bloop, 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 bloop. He just lumbers down hallways, like just lumbering. And then he shows up in the doorway, and Dr. Sherry's like, look who's here. And the music's like, dun, 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 dun.
I love that he's just so low energy. He's like, dum, 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 hi. It's like, hi.
And then when he sits down on the couch, he goes from lumbering bear to, like, turtle. He looks exactly like a turtle, just like if you saw a turtle sitting on a couch, that's what it would be.
It's because he's got those blocked colors on his jumpsuit. Yes. So like when he sits down, it changes his whole outfit, you know. Now he's like a turtle coming out of a shell. It's
very much like modern Koopa Troopa, because you know, like the evolution of how Koopa Troopas look, like in the beginning they just were these little turtles, but now they're sort of cartoony, you know. He's like a 2019 Koopa Troopa sitting on a couch going to therapy.
So the doctor's like, wow, Dennis, thanks for being here. I'm sure this isn't easy for you, which is why I gave you a 2-seat couch to sit on. Enjoy that. So she starts asking them, like, what's it going to take, you know? And why did you come today, Dennis? And he's like, well, we've been through a lot in the past few months, and everything was really good, but I made a mistake, and I cheated. And then Portia's like, it was not a mistake. A mistake is taking the wrong exit.
Yeah.
A mistake is taking the wrong exit. A mistake is ordering a hot dog when you really wanted a hamburger. That's a mistake.
A mistake is putting pedals on a car. Who does that?
A mistake is ordering a small placemat and putting it out and saying it's your welcome mat. Ha! Mistake.
A mistake is a steak that hasn't been married yet.
A mistake is a steak that just misses you.
So he's like, well, we had a rough pregnancy from start to finish. You know, and sex and pregnancy, that's nothing like a man wants to do. Okay. Do not get back together with this person. So now the second you stop having sex the way the guy wants, or God forbid, what if you go through a dry spell and don't have sex? Okay, then he can cheat. You know, this is bullshit. And I hate when people do that. Like, well, I wasn't getting it in the relationship, so I went and found it somewhere else. Get out first. Okay,
then and then you know what's even more deplorable is that then he says that there was postpartum, and he's like, you know, she was crying a lot, and I cried with her, as if, like, he gets, like, I doubt that he cried with her, by the way, but, like, so he's like, because she was crying, he's like, well, doesn't sound good, but that's just what it is. So you're blaming it on postpartum, which is, like, so despicable. I don't know.
Well, I took it as him saying, we cried together every night, meaning, like, it was really hard, and we were there for each other, and I was there for each other, and I know that's not... good enough. I don't know. I that's how I wrote it, but
that's what it is. Either way, lenses. I was like, this fucker.
Yeah, but he basically is. He's basically blaming it on the pregnancy at the very least, and then having to deal with the baby and everything after, which guess what? Every person who has a baby has to do that. It doesn't mean that everyone gets to just go fucking cheat on their pregnant wife, you asshole.
Yeah. And so Dr. Sherry is like, so given that you were in this all together, how could you have sex with anyone else? And he's just like, it was poor decisions, a selfish decision. It was like a full on, he was basically being Jax. He was saying all the things he knew he needed to say. He was literally borderline smiling when he was saying it too. It was so dialed in and like clearly like given crib notes by Marlowe. You know, this was, or a crib sheet. It was just so, ugh.
He was given MTV cribs.
So I'm like, Dennis, you made us like you with hot dogs, okay? My trust is betrayed. I never liked him. No, I never liked him either. I just like hot dogs.
That guy.
I just like hot dogs.
He's like, well, it's a poor decision. And they were giving him subtitles, like he's speaking a different language, which was hilarious. A poor decision, and it's a selfish decision. And all of this is being typed out below him. So he's like, but I've done my best to let Portia know I love her, and I'm apologetic, and I'm ready.
No. Portia's whole thing is that she wants to be, because they have a daughter, you know, she wants to know that he is going to be there because he wants to be there. And she wants her daughter to know that like her dad wants to be with her, et cetera. And so, and she hasn't told Dennis that she still loves him because she doesn't think that he deserves that. And he doesn't.
Yeah, he doesn't.
So I'll give him another chance.
Yeah. So then the doctor's like, so how can Portia know that she can trust you again? And Dennis is like, well, we are technically still engaged. And the doctor's like, and technically she doesn't have a ring on. I was like, Dr. Sherry, wow, that comeback. I love it.
Yeah. And Portia's like, yeah, that's right. So she's like, well, you know, this has been so much pain. You don't understand what I've done to my family. And he's like sitting there smirking. And she's like,
okay, well, let's try it again.
I know. And then they...
I mean, I get it. I get wanting to make the family work. But
relationships are complicated. It's not a black and white thing. I get it.
But oh my God, this is a black and white thing. If he's still saying, like, well, yeah, I cheated, but we couldn't have the sex to say when she's pregnant. Like, okay, no. This is someone who's not even trying to learn.
Enjoy baby number two. So then they're driving home, and, you know, Portia's like,
well, I acknowledge that you were being very honest in there, and I do appreciate that. Can I have a hot dog? Can I have a hot dog?
Did he Uber to the appointment? That was so weird. Was he waiting in the car?
What the hell? He probably, yeah.
So, yeah. So he, of course, Uber while she's trying to be serious, is staring at her rack. He's like, you look amazing. Can I come over? She's like, no. I was like, oh, God. Okay, so then did you hear in the previews? Did you watch the previews for next week?
I watched, like, part of them. I just saw that, like, it's going to be where Mike proposes to Cynthia, finally.
So I don't know if you heard this, but there was a weird voiceover this time in the preview.
I didn't notice.
It went, in a world full of drama. And it's like, drama, drama, drama. And then Cynthia gets proposed to, and it goes, sometimes dreams do come true. And then,
oh, I thought that was clips. Mike talking.
Oh, is that what it is? It's more clips, and he says, and absolutely living it right now. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Were they just putting him in there? Oh, I thought it was a new voiceover guy. I was like, please make this a weekly thing. I would love that.
I didn't watch the full preview because I fell asleep last night when I was watching Married to Medicine, and I forgot that I hadn't finished it, and so we were about to record, and I was like, shit, I have to watch the rest of Married to Medicine so we can at least talk about it. So I was like, I must save every minute, so I'm not going to watch the preview. But when I did turn on Married to Medicine last night, I saw the end of the preview, which was basically Mike proposing to Cynthia, which is really a great segue because I think the first scene of Married to Medicine was Quad getting a drink with Cynthia.
Yeah, there you go. Right after she signed divorce papers. So you see?
Yeah.
Aww.
So for those of you guys wondering, I mean, we're just going to talk about Married to Medicine, just do a little check-in like a proper doctor. Here's what everyone missed. Cynthia.
Yeah, Cynthia and Quad are friends.
There were goats.
Basically, this week's episode, Buffy tries to do a girls thing. So she takes everybody to the spa, and there's like goat yoga and stuff, and Quad won't do it. She's like,
but no. It's not really a spa. It's like an Airbnb. So it's like, well, I don't know why they just didn't do it at Buffy's house. But yes, they like drive somewhere to a different house that's like not a spa.
Yeah. So there's that, and
actually
so here's what happens. So Mariah decides that she's going to bring her sister Lake as backup because Lake started all this drama. Well, Mariah started all this drama through Lake saying at a reunion that Quad fucked Lake's husband. Right. And so Mariah has tried fighting with everybody and screaming and losing at this season like she normally does, but people weren't really playing her game. So now she's bringing Lake in to do it. To get mad at Quad because she can't get Quad screaming and yelling like she used to. So let's see how this works out.
Yeah, she brought Lake in under the guise of, I need someone to take care of me because I broke my toe again. And so, like, even though she's on a trip with two full-fledged doctors, she apparently needs Lake to make sure that, I guess, Mariah's broken toe boot is tended to at all times.
Yeah, yes. And everyone is shocked, like, this is going to be a huge drama, but Quad's basically like, I've already given Mariah enough, you know? Mm-hmm. Now she's trying to come back on the show and fight with me to be back on the show, and I'm not going to give it to her. So I'm not going to give it to her with Lake either. So she doesn't say anything, which makes it really uncomfortable for everybody else, because they're like, aren't we supposed to be fighting right now? Like, what the hell? So everybody else tries to make them fight, but Quad still won't fight.
No. And then you also have Jackie, who's just getting irritated with Buffy. Now, I really like Buffy a lot, but Buffy was really annoying this episode because she was trying to like force the fun of the spa day because she was hosting it. So that amounted to her squealing intensely the entire time. Like, oh my God, massage, bathing suits. And Jackie is just sitting there like, oh, child.
Yeah, Jackie
is the new it.
Yeah, she really does not like Buffy. And she even does a Jackie slam, which is very rare for Jackie to all out slam somebody. But she's like, what did she say? sounded like a dog. She said she made some kind of comment like she's, you know.
Yeah, she says, what sort of, she's like, what octave is that? It's like, dog octave.
Yeah, and then she pointed at the camera like, nailed it.
I also want to point out that since this is 2019, which means that next year is a leap year. And so even though 2020 is the leap year, 2019 is the year that we get to see Heavenly's other children. So we got to see her other two sons for the first time in 4 years. I feel like, I think we haven't seen them in about 4 years. They came to dinner. So I'm just pointing that out, that we got to see the whole family. We never get to see them.
Also, we didn't point out yet that Heavenly got new teeth kind of in the middle of this. I'm not sure when she got them, but have you noticed now she has kind of a lisp, like a Carol Channing lisp?
No, I didn't notice that at all.
Oh, yeah. You'll see when she's doing her diary room session, she's a listener, daddies.
Daddy, I have new teeth, Daddy. You like my new teeth? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
She even said praise the Lord, actually, as she approached Buffy's house. She's like, oh, it's raining a little bit today. Praise the Lord. Then the other thing was, Contessa and Scott had like a big breakthrough. Their therapist came over. I actually like their therapist quite a bit. And I'm like doing like therapist Yelp for Bravo. But
well, we could today. God knows we've seen enough therapists today just in these two shows. Jeez.
I know. Seriously. Two therapists and a life coach. But basically,
and Scott a lawyer therapist.
And a lawyer therapist. And also goats. So then Scott is basically, he's come to realize that he has kind of turned the kids against his wife. And he's like feeling bad about it. And he's telling the therapist, and she goes, you know, there's a word that we have for that. It's called sabotage. And he's like, ooh, shit. Like, I didn't mean to be sabotaging my wife.
Yeah, he's basically like, it's come to my attention that I may have communicated things to my children that turned them against my wife. It's like, that's weird. So, yeah, so that was the end of their storyline. And I was like, why are they wrapping up storylines? Don't we have 11 episodes of this left to go? What the heck?
Yeah, but no. I was like, once that happened, once I saw that they were resolved, and then he was like, I'm proud of you, and you should go back to school, I was like, I think we're getting a season finale soon. And sure, and then especially when Toya started talking about how she's putting together a big party, I guess their official housewarming, I was like, oh, yeah. Season finale is coming up, and sure enough, next week, season finale of Marriage and Medicine.
Yes, it sure is, and we will be there watching it. Did you watch Watch What Happens Live last night?
No, what happened?
Oh, you didn't? I thought you did, because on our YouTube TV it said watched already. That's weird.
No.
That's why I brought it up. Thought you watched it. Kenya was on there, and so was Quad.
Ooh.
And Quad has done something to her face to where her upper face doesn't move, but one eye still blinks. Okay. But still, they both looked really pretty. And at one point, they came back. Andy brought up Kenya's marriage, and they showed a clip. And then they came back from the clip, and Quad had her legs crossed over to Kenya doing her therapy thing with one of her eyes half closed because, you know, Botox. And she's like, how do you feel about your husband cheating on you and you coming back? And she's asked her, and Kenya said, well, actually, I think I'll let Andy ask the questions. And so everybody in the audience is like, oh. And Andy said, well, yeah, I mean, that was the question I was going to ask. So, you know, that's cool. She asked the question because that's what I was going to ask. And Kenya's like, well, then you ask it then if you want to ask it.
Wow.
So she got like really attitude-y with Quad. So then towards the end of the show, someone called in or tweeted them and said, why is Kenya being so shady to Quad? And Quad's like, well, I guess there's a little history there. Is there history? What is it, Kenya? What is it? And Kenya's like, well, you know, we have history. I don't remember what it was. And Quad just puts her finger on her chin and nods a lot, like she's the therapist.
Yes,
and
therapist,
she's like,
yeah. Quad.
She's like, I think it might have something to you saying nice things about my ex-husband. She's like, well, I love him. I don't care. And then they just started saying kind of nonsense, shady things at each other. Like,
Well, no shade. I love you. You know, it's fine. We're getting along. I mean, you seem to be stuck in the past, but that's fine. That's fine. And, you know.
That's so
glad. They literally leaned each other's shoulders on each other and started looking right into the camera and just kept like spitting out shady things at each other, like they were just like drag queens doing a Christmas special, you know, like who can say the most shady things. And also they played this game while we're on it, where I guess Tamara gave Andy one of her implants that she had removed, which is so this show. So they had to play Pass the Implant, where they were, it was like Hot Potato, but for implants. And they each had to say nice things about the people they hated. Like, Quad got Mariah and Kenya got Marlo. And then at the very end of the game, whoever was, Quad was left holding the implant, and it exploded. It, like, they made a big exploding implant graphic for the audience. So just had to update you, because it's not often that I watch that show, but wow.
Yeah. How's this show on the air? That's what I ask sometimes. I just like hot, like a passing the implant around and explode. I can't.
I mean, passing the implant, that is some shit. Like, the aliens are up there. Like, do we just ruin Earth now, or should we give them another chance? So they're like, hold on. Yes, they're done. Yes, Earth is probably done. Humanity is helpless, but I really want to see the end of Pass the Implant.
Oh god. Well, thank you for that update. I'm sorry I missed it.
So funny. So everybody, that brings us to the end of Real Housewives of Atlanters and yeah. Married to Medicine, kind of. Thanks to everybody who is here with us all the time. We're grateful for you and we love you. Go check out live show tickets over at watchwhatcrappens.com and go buy your tickets for Boston, Washington, and all those other places, okay?
Yeah, we'll see you guys somewhere. And we'll talk to you guys later this week with a million episodes. We have a lot of stuff. Bravo is not letting up for the holidays, and neither are we.
Yeah, we will talk to you soon. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Let's begin our nighttime relaxation. You've never felt more... Feel your eyelids getting... Now let yourself lay back and get a good night of... When cold and flu symptoms won't let you sleep, ask for Night Nurse. Its unbeatable strength helps put cold and flu to bed. Only available at the pharmacy counter. For cold and flu relief, visit dayandnightnurse.co.uk/verify for verification. Always read the label.
This Christmas, see an unforgettable cast in the musical phenomenon. Cats. James Corden.
Here we go!
Judi Dench. Jason Derulo.
It's party time!
Woo! Idris Elba.
I love it.
Jennifer Hudson. Ian McKellen. Taylor Swift. Rebel Wilson.
Stop milking it!
And introducing Francesca Haywood.
Are you going to try for a different life?
Cats.
We're about to begin.
Yeah! In cinemas Friday.